Now, more and more teachers in Wisconsin are changing jobs. According to a new report from the nonpartisan Wisconsin Policy Forum, turnover among teachers rose to just under 16% during the last school year. That rate included both the highest levels on record of teachers moving between districts and the second highest levels of teachers leaving classrooms in Wisconsin's public schools. The Policy Forum analysis found that turnover was highest in districts that serve lower-income students, and it was highest among teachers of color. Among other things, there's concern that this kind of turnover can lead to inconsistency and instability in the classroom at a time when many students are still feeling ripple effects from pandemic learning loss. We're learning more about what might be driving high teacher turnover, what impact it's having, and what districts might be able to do about it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you seeing this kind of teacher turnover in your local school district? What do you think is behind that? If you're a teacher yourself, have you recently changed jobs or left the profession altogether? Share your experience. Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Gardner Seawright is an assistant professor in the Department of Educational Foundations at UW-Whitewater and a former middle school teacher. Gardner, welcome to Central Time.
Happy to be here.
We've been hearing some concerns about teacher retention over the years, but at least according to this report, we've seen this jump. What do you think might be behind that?
I think there's a lot of things that could be behind it. I think, you know, looking at the trends over time is really important here, especially considering that, like, this is not entirely new and not entirely surprising given the trends over time, considering that there's been a relatively high rate of turnover just over the last 10 years. But then it is quite concerning that it jumped to the high rate of for 2023. So I am concerned about it, but I think the things that we are seeing that are leading to it, I think it's weird to start off, is really important to kind of deal with the popular presumption that turnover like this is kind of from out of control students and resentful teachers of those out of control students. But recent research, including the policy brief that just came out, really points to poor working conditions, organizational culture, and dissatisfaction as central contributors to turnover. And it's not really the fault of students.
Before we dig it more into the causes, let's talk about the consequences. I think the expectation is schools are mostly going to end up with the staffing they need, might be down to the wire. Does it affect students if there's a higher level of turnover in the staff that's showing up in the classrooms from year to year?
100%. You know, that is the real problem here. It's like, yes, we are concerned about, you know, teachers are workers, and we want them to have positive, supportive working environments. But at the end of the day, the people who feel the brunt of teacher turnover are the students. And so, and especially in the districts where we need the most experienced teachers, that's where we're seeing these highest turnover rates. In those districts, students are hurting because of this rate, because you are having fewer teachers with the amount of experience needed to teach, like from an asset-based perspective, from a community-driven perspective, who have like a trauma-informed idea of how to work with students who are going through things like a major pandemic. So there is also just like a bulk of research showing that there are negative learning outcomes from high teacher turnover and just high teacher stress.
My mom is a retired teacher. She taught in my district for many, many years. Some of the students who graduated with me from high school, well, they came back and taught there, and she was the one training them. How much do we lose if we don't have that, at least a core of long-term teachers sharing that institutional knowledge with the next generation?
Well, the institutional knowledge is key, right? But one of the hard things here is that sharing in that institutional knowledge is not always formalized. So we don't have as many formal mentorship programs that we should have, especially in the districts that need kind of a specific set of teaching skills, like working in our city districts and our urban districts with our students who might be experiencing assortments of trauma in their lives.
Gardner C. Wright is with us from the Department of Educational Foundations at UW-Whitewater. Looking at this new report showing a jump in turnover among teachers in Wisconsin's public schools, moving either from one school to another or moving from teaching in a classroom to doing something different altogether, you can join in at 800-642-1234. As a parent or student in a district, are you seeing a lot of new unfamiliar faces showing up because of this? If you work in schools, what's your experience there? What do you think is behind this? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Gardner, you laid out a short list of some of the possible causes of this kind of turnover, including working conditions for teachers in schools. What kind of concerns that you do you have that could be driving this level of turnover?
So in terms of working conditions, you have to look at, yes, like the kind of baseline, like what are the facilities like? You know, MPS, like Milwaukee Public Schools, is in dire need of some kind of facilities upgrades. There's a lot of schools that don't have basic air conditioning, and that's across the state. So, you know, there are the basic things that additional funding from the legislature could help. But you also have things like how the organizational structure of schools, and there's actually a lot of research that the organizational structure actually matters more than a lot of other factors. So things like how much are teachers actually listen to? How much input do they have in the decision-making process? How much do their administration leaders actually listen to them? What influence do they have over their curriculum? What kind of autonomy do they have in the classroom? You know, we've over the last, you know, couple of decades of educational policy reform, we've seen a really teacher autonomy become more and more constricted. And I think you see a lot of teacher frustration just in like in that they don't have the time to do really creative and exciting things in their classroom. And there are fewer opportunities to have autonomy in their classroom the way they should and kind of treated like the professional that they are.
A concern I remember hearing in the past, Gardner, is that, you know, you might have some well-funded school district, maybe in a growing suburban area, the tax base is increasing, the number of students is going up. They can afford to pay a teacher more than, say, a rural district where you're seeing lower student enrollment. And, you know, if a teacher wants to make a little more to progress in their career, they might not be able to do it within that small district. So they head to this hypothetical example, the wealthier suburban district. Is that part of the story here?
So that is part. So direct compensation, at least in Wisconsin, it doesn't really shake out that way. Because Milwaukee Public Schools is the highest paying district in the state. It might be really close with Madison. But where the disparity lies between suburban districts and city districts is in the resources that they're able to provide. So the disparity in funding doesn't necessarily come down to direct compensation in terms of salary, but in terms of like what type of donations can wealthy community members give in terms of like physical facilities or fundraisers that go directly to fund clubs and extra activities. So that's where you see a lot of the disparities show up. And ultimately, those are like really important parts of an educational experience. And they also, when students have a lot of things going on, that ultimately that gives teachers more to work with as well.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Joe is with us in Spooner. Joe, hi.
Yeah, hi there. I taught for 24 years in a suburb of Minneapolis, St. Louis Park School District. It was my second career. I'm a retired Marine Corps officer also and decided to go into public education. I taught English. In 2013, I took a leave of absence and went and taught in China for 3 years. And when I came back, the culture of my building had changed dramatically. Cell phones had proliferated throughout. There were liberal policies, and I use that term very loosely because I consider myself a progressive, policies of the generic terms of under the guidon of equity and diversity, and I support those, but those issues supplanted what really was essential, and that was the rigorous curriculum that I experienced before I went to China. And when I came back, that went out the window, and the whole building focus became about socio-emotional aspects of children and teaching them about alternative histories and things like that, rather than, you know, straight up ABCs, teaching reading and writing and staying focused on a rigorous curriculum, because I think that's the most equitable thing of all.
Joe, thanks a lot for the call. Gardner, Joe, worried about changes he saw there, and I imagine there are a lot of teachers one way or another who may not like the way that the trends in teaching go over time.
Yeah, and then, so Joe's experience there is, you know, he hit on a lot of major factors that are under debate right now, and I think what he's talking about with kind of like classic rigorous curriculum, I want to focus on that for a second, because that is that's been a point of conversation that's been frequently touted in the current kind of debates around equity, diversity, and inclusion, and that's where I think we have to think about what is rigorous. And that's where, you know, there's a kind of classic style of kind of that is focused more on rote engagement. Okay, memorize these dates, these facts, these timetables, these kind of formulas, and it is focused on that rote memorization and regurgitation on high stakes standardized tests, where we tend alongside kind of a push for more equity-based curriculum, culturally relevant curriculum, you also see a push for a more critical in-depth engagement with specific topics. And that does look different. It does not, it's not the same kind of super fast-paced engagement with lesson after lesson after lesson, where you're supposed to remember a specific set of facts. But there's a lot of research supporting that kind of in-depth engagement with materials that does look a little different actually promotes more long-term retention, more critical thinking, and it ultimately has positive results for like what we want out of students. But ultimately, I think it really comes down to like big philosophical questions of like, what do we think the purpose of education is? And what do you hope students are going to get? Do you want them to have this kind of list of facts, or do you want them to be deep critical thinkers?
Joe, thanks a lot for sharing your experience. We're talking to UW-Whitewater education professor Gardner C. Wright about turnover among teachers in Wisconsin. It's up, according to a recent report. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think school districts could do, should do to retain teachers? Do you want to see more from the state legislature and the governor on this? If you're a current or former educator yourself, love to hear what you've seen. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We're picking up our talk with Gardner C. Wright, assistant professor in the Department of Educational Foundations at UW-Whitewater, looking at the turnover rate for teachers in Wisconsin, why it has gone up, what impact that can have, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think is driving teachers to leave districts, to leave teaching? Are we talking about you? Tell us about your story at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Jack is with us in Spring Lake, Michigan. Jack, hi.
Hi, how are you, sir?
Good. What'd you want to tell us about?
Well, my name's Dr. Jack Drennan, PhD hypnotherapy, master's psychology, master's education, and the first thing, always a teacher. Just because you have a piece of paper doesn't mean you're any good at what you do. But moving from there to the students, I started teaching in inner city Detroit. And I grew up in a tough inner city family with a military dad. And as I taught, I found out, and I later moved to a suburban school because they recruited me. Not I recruited them, but I found out that after a couple years, I needed to go back and get a master's in psychology. And because the number, I would have 40 students in my class, overload, and the other teacher teaching the same thing would have 15. Now, what was the difference? The difference is every student wrote down everything they felt I needed to know about them on the first day of class. Second thing, I was always at the door and thanking them for coming to school. Your goal is for day one is for students to look forward to coming to day two and day three and day four. So we did crazy things. They got all their homework done. They hit me in the face with three pies.
Jack, thanks for the call. Jack, it sounds like Gardner, it sounds like Jack put a lot of heart and soul into his teaching. What is it that we need to do to have teachers prepared for maybe a difficult situation, whether it's an inner city school district, as Jack said, or a lot of students? Do we have enough preparation in there for them, getting hit in the pie notwithstanding?
So I think there's two things that are really important to underlying that story. And first is that he went back to get his master's degree. That type of thing needs to have formal support. So things like state tuition reimbursements for new teachers going through initial teacher education, but going back and seeking additional credentials. That is such a huge bonus for districts that we as a state, we should really be supporting more options to fund teachers to improve their skill set. But then on the backside of just him having that heart and trying to do that, and that actually reminds me of another part of the report that we're talking about today, that Black teachers and teachers of a color are overrepresented in turnover. And the reasons for this are the same as the others, but that there's a lot of stress in teaching, but there's also for a lot of teachers of color, there is additional uncompensated labor forced attached to the work that they do with students of color. So this is when you have a Black teacher come in, there is both an explicit and implicit assumption that they're going to serve as mentors, de facto counselors, community liaisons, disciplinarians, curriculum specialists for Black and Brown communities across the state. That is an additional amount of work that we need to recognize that increases burnout because they are bringing an additional skill set, because there's also a tremendous amount of research identifying the positive academic achievements attached to having a more diverse workforce. When teachers come in and are able to see the strengths and the assets of the communities that they're working with, that goes a long way to working with students so they can create lessons and engage them in ways where they are excited to come into class every day. And that's huge. And what I'm saying is that we need to find formal ways to compensate those skill sets and the additional labor that we put on Black teachers and teachers of color.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. Elizabeth joins us now in Madison. Elizabeth, hi.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I just retired as a teacher of the deaf and hard of hearing after 41 years and have seen a lot of changes, big changes in Wisconsin that I think contribute to burnout. Teacher burnout is, we have a new teacher evaluation system where teachers now get not only observed, but we have to upload documents. We have to comment on documents. It's like a whole extra process that teachers have to add in addition to their load of teaching and a lot of requirements from the Department of Public Instruction I wish some of these people would actually go into a school and see what, is involved. Also, the population of students has changed. There's parental support may not be as high as it was back in the day. I think people, the general public, think that kids come to school, they get their breakfast, they have a lovely home life, everything is fine and dandy. That is not the case with a lot of students. So these students are coming with a lot of trauma, especially after COVID. There's just a lot being put on teachers.
Elizabeth, I got you. We don't have a ton of time left, but thanks for sharing your experience. Gardner, Elizabeth pointing to, it's not just standing up in front of the class and teaching. It's a lot of back-end bureaucracy that we don't see, she says, and a lot of challenges with the students themselves in some cases.
You know, I think, yeah, there's two things going on there, and like the back-end bureaucracy is one thing, and yes, and I want to come back to that, but I think, like, yeah, like students are dealing with a lot of trauma, including, you know, a global pandemic that we're both coming back from. And I think, you know, teachers do need to be better prepared with trauma-informed approaches of like how to work with students who have been experiencing things like a loss of a loved one, or even dealing with the trauma associated with structural racism or poverty. These are all sources of trauma that teachers need to be prepared to kind of work with students to and support them while they're dealing with that in schools. And basically, you know, students come into a classroom with a lot of life behind them, and I think teachers need to be prepared to do that. And there needs to be also administrative support once they are teachers to engage that kind of stuff. But to our caller's point about like the teaching evaluation systems, I think it's actually a good point to consider when it comes to actually the presence of unions in districts across the country. So there's a significant amount of research pointing out that in districts with a high density of teacher unionization, I actually have fewer amounts of stress. And I bring this up because if you think about the point around teacher evaluation systems as part of collective bargaining agreements, you teachers can have say over those type of evaluation system. That's part of the whole system. And so, you know, so there's some good research showing that unionization actually reduces teacher stress, as well as compensating, like additional salary compensation. In Wisconsin, teacher salary has kind of adjusted for inflation has kind of decreased 8% since the passage of Act 10. So I think there's like in terms of how the public, as well as administrators and policymakers, can support teachers, there's always the option of like how can we move forward and reconsider teacher unionization.
And we'll leave it there. Thanks to our guest Gardner Seawright from UW-Whitewater with us today to look at why Wisconsin is seeing a record high for turnover among teachers.